sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Today we hear in church about Stephen getting stoned. What are you thinking? Bob Dylan is a poet, so there are always layers to his lyrics, but his infamous song Rainy Day Women is said to have been inspired not only by the newest state flowers of Colorado and Washington and California, but also, and foremost actually, was reading about it, by this text from the Acts of the Apostles that we read today. Well, they'll stone you when you're trying to be so good. They'll stone you just like they said they would. They'll stone you when you're trying to go home. Then they'll stone you when you're there all alone. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Do you know why Stephen got stoned? Got pelted to death with rocks? It's because he just preached a sermon. Yeah, he preached a sermon. It's not the most riveting sermon either, in my opinion. You can read it for yourself in Acts chapter 6. All he does is rehearses the salvation history, just like we do in an even shorter way with the Eucharistic prayer at Holy Communion on Sundays. That story of God's faithfulness to God's people down through the ages. Often we start with Abraham and Sarah, down through David and Solomon, Ruth and Naomi. It is a great retelling, but nothing really controversial or incendiary. In fact, it's pretty exhaustive. I don't always do the Eucharistic prayer here at Bethlehem. Sometimes I just go right to the words of institution. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I do read a longer prayer, right? And I don't know if it's my experience or my projection from my own childhood, but I almost feel like there's a sigh of boredom or like, oh, how long is this going to take when I start doing the Eucharistic prayer? Oh, he's not doing the shorter version. He's going to do this. Oh. I haven't heard audible gasps or sighs, but I feel like I sense it. I don't know if it's true or not. It's exhaustive, and maybe that's a little like Stephen's sermon, like, ugh. Until Stephen concludes in this text in Acts by comparing the ancient Israelites' stubbornness to his own hearer standing right in front of him. And then every sentence is packed with a punch. You stiff-necked people, he says, uncircumcised in heart and ears. And by the way, Eugene Peterson's translation, that's a weird phrase there, uncircumcised in heart and ears. Peterson says, calloused over on your hearts and with flaps covering your ears. You are forever, Stephen goes on, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, you stiff-necked people with covered ears and calloused hearts. You are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it. When they heard these things, Luke writes in the book of Acts, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen, and we know how that ends. So were they justified somehow reacting like this? Or was Stephen trying to be so good in the right for calling them out? It's quite a turn in action from these chapters about Stephen. From a snoozer to a barn burner, right? From preaching to stoning. And what might we learn, friends, from what's happened here? I think there's so much to be said for standing up in the face of opposition for the right thing. This story takes place in a book named, literally named Action, the Acts of the Apostles, Actions of the Apostles. And this part comes after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, and I'll remind you, after the Holy Spirit has been infused, after the Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit has been infused into all the disciples. It's the now what book of the Easter season. And one of the actions of the apostles, of Jesus' followers, is this standing up and preaching a hard word, calling our friends, our siblings in Christ out when they need to be, speaking the truth in love despite the consequences, maybe even martyrdom. Who has that been in your life? I would like to share in a moment here at church. Who has that been for you? Who has stood up for justice and truth and love and even suffered for it? Do we even have people like this in our own lives? I mean, it can't just be the Martin Luther Kings and the Dietrich Bonhoeffers. Who are people in our church, in our congregation, in our families, at our workplaces, who have taken a certain fall for the right things, and maybe even more specifically, for God and for God's love and justice, speaking the truth in love, calling people out on their stubbornness? It's very important to note here that Stephen was not a pastor or a bishop. He was not one of the 12 disciples. He didn't have a PhD. He was a deacon. In other words, he was a server, a lay person, a member of the church, an everyday Christian, someone who, it says, served at the table so that the apostles could minister the word. And yet, he is the one to speak out, the first one, to speak out and tell the truth in love. You all aren't listening, and you all aren't learning from God's story here. You all are opposing the Holy Spirit. Your hearts are calloused. Stephen was the first martyr of the church. This is God incarnate at work. This is the Holy Spirit poured out on God's people. This is the kind of stuff that happens. And friends, you too have the power to do this. You too have the power, not because of you, but because of the Holy Spirit poured out upon you, to speak the truth in love. What might we speak together better? How might God's love be known even more? Even if there's a hard word to be said, I wouldn't recommend starting that hard word with name calling. You stiff-necked people. But when the timing is right, how do we tell the truth to those who need to hear it? There's an intervention thing going on here that Stephen is doing. It's an intervention. It's sitting someone down and calling them back to God, who loves them, and a life that reflects that. And sometimes that starts with, you've been hurting people for a long time. Let us all be about God's work of standing up and doing the right thing, even if it's countercultural, even if it's unpopular, even if it's frightening. Let's not oppose the Holy Spirit. I'm always moved every time I read this text with how Saint Stephen was filled with forgiveness as he's being stoned to death. Lord, do not hold the sin against them, he cries out before his last breath. It sounds almost exactly like Jesus on the cross, right? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He also, by the way, says, Lord, Jesus, receive my spirit, which sounds a lot like, into thy hands I commit my spirit. It's no coincidence. It's showing that the Holy Spirit has been infused into Jesus' disciples. So now they're actually saying and doing things that Jesus said and did. And that's us too. What are ways that you are saying and doing the very things that Jesus said and did? On this side of the resurrection, friends, we too are filled with the power to say and do things as radical as Christ, to shower love and forgiveness on our murderers, on those who would oppose the Holy Spirit with their calloused hearts and covered ears. Life on this side of Easter morning means that everyone, not just bishops and pastors and people who work in the church or have fancy theological degrees, every one of Jesus' followers is capable of extraordinary things, standing up for the truth in the face of opposition and pressure, and also forgiving our persecutors, resisting violence. Life on this side of Easter morning means that everyday followers of Jesus are infused with God's love and the ability to forgive. Forgiveness is a Holy Spirit thing. Forgiveness is what it's all about. Pentecost and forgiveness. And remember Jesus breathing on the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit, he says. And then he goes on to talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a Holy Spirit thing. It's the Christian version of circumcision. What I mean by that is it's what sets us apart, and it's not limited to gender, unlike circumcision. It hurts a little bit, forgiveness, in that it's a challenge and it's not natural, yet it marks us as different. The rest of the world's reaction, and I think the natural reaction, is to get even with someone who throws a rock at you. An eye for an eye, right? A stone for a stone. You hit me, I hit you. But Jesus told us and showed us, and even everyday Stephen reminds us and shows us, to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Which doesn't mean just taking it either. It's about standing up. It's not just a bishop's special line, loving our enemies. For the media, when a tragedy strikes, you know, there's always, I love this. I think it's powerful when the church stands up, and maybe it's a bishop or someone stands up and says, let's be sure to pray for the shooter. Let's be sure to pray for the shooter's family in this time too. That's a good line, and that will play. That'll get published. Stephen reminds us that it's everyday Christians' call, though, to be about the hard work of forgiveness and not just in enormous, tragic, horrific violations. We can be stiff-necked, too, at home and at work, with our friends, with our family, with our neighbors, on the road. Stephen was right. You stiff-necked people, but filled with the Holy Spirit, friends, as the resurrected Jesus has filled us with the Holy Spirit, we are capable of both courage to stand and forgiveness. That's strength. This is what the way, the truth, and the life is, to shift us a little bit to the Gospel of John here. Jesus says to his disciples in the Gospel text today, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, what do you think that looks like? Stephen shows us it means we are given courage to stand up and speak. We are given strength to forgive the people who throw rocks at us. We knew it was coming. They'll stone us just like they said they would. We knew that this baptized life wasn't a cakewalk. But siblings in Christ, we have just what we need to withstand, even in the face of death. This is God's power. This is God's gift. This is grace. This is God's love and faithfulness gushing out for us, for you. What you have, St. Stephen teaches us today, is enough to stand up and do the right thing. It is enough to love your enemies and those who have wronged you. We have the ability within us, thanks be to God, we have that strength. It's in this bread and wine, the real presence of Jesus. Dylan said it, I would not feel so all alone. It's in the water of this little font. It's in the word that is spoken and shared and breathed in this community. And God will not abandon us this day, in this fiery and frightening season, or ever. God gives us enough. Amen. Thank you.
us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical. That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.